Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where everything we do starts with an alignment to Australia's first accredited standard of conflict-free advice, which ensures we are truly focused on helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool here from Certainty Advice Group with another podcast of our Certainty series where we aim to give as much certainty as possible, much valuable financial advice as possible, totally servicing your best interests without any conflict or bias in any way attached to that advice. Our Certainty Advisors all over Australia follow the nation's first standard of advice, comprehensively firstly and only remunerated by yourself without any connection to the amount of assets, the amount of product or amount of hours worked, just simply based upon the value to you. It's not valuable to you, you simply don't pay for it, which is particularly important in these most interesting of times, 3 years on now since the rise or fall of advice, since the Royal Commission was announced. We have the most interesting of times brought together not only by COVID, but just by the circumstances we have in the advice industry today, regardless of COVID. We've just had a budget being passed down with a fire hose of incentives ranging on many Australians, from tax cuts, increasing government support across many different sectors, increased control on superannuation funds, ensuring they're representing the best interest of members, whatever that means, greater incentives to employ younger people for firms that are looking to grow, instant write-offs for business owners on assets for the business, and lots of money for infrastructure spending to kick the can along and get these big projects underway and employ people. But with all this going on, the marketplace which people are wandering onto seeking advice about how best to navigate, considering some of these massive fundamental policy changes, can Australians safely and properly talk about their options to get and lie on the right possible path in this new landscape? And in this context, I'm really glad to have Paul Birch. Paul is principal of Pacific Wealth, pacwealth.com.au, a great boutique advisory firm here on Sydney's Northern Beaches. Not only being a Certainty Advisor, adhering to the Certainty Advisor standards of non-conflict comprehensive advice, Paul has built his business up servicing really busy growing families, growing businesses, growing number of empty nesters here on the Northern Beaches as well. But listen out for Paul's version of and thoughts about, you know, what is this landscape of advice considering the massive number of changes that have occurred? What is the landscape of advice like right now and for people to be seeking advice amongst what's going on? And still, what is fundamentally missing? Paul's pretty clear on this and needs to be taken into account if you are talking to an advisor, no matter whether it's an accountant, whether it's an industry funds person, whether it's a friend, or whether it's a bank advisor, anybody. What is fundamentally still missing? But I started this conversation asking Paul, Paul, in your opinion, what has been the benefits for Australians now, 3 years on from the Royal Commission, particularly in light of COVID-19 now?
Look, I can't see it in any of the clients that we talk to, and I don't really see it as being a big benefit for the general public, to be honest. I don't think it's really made advice more affordable or more accessible or any better for clients.
Well, it was a big exercise, you know, some $70 million to conduct, and certainly captured the headlines there for a while, and a lot of there's been a lot of change as a consequence. So do you think longer term, there might be some benefits for Australians as a consequence of all this?
Look, I'd like to hope that there is longer term, but I can't see that the Royal Commission is going to be the catalyst for those benefits and changes longer term.
There's been a long line of inquiries, you know, with Campbell and Ripoll and Bernie Ripolli and the FOFA reforms, even the Murray reforms, the Sedgwick reforms, the reports that are coming out, the Cooper report. Is the Hayne report just another in this continual procession of more and more inquiries into how financial services should run?
Look, I think it probably is. And in another 3 years' time, I think there'll be another one that comes out to replace the Hayne report and the Royal Commission, because it seems that these things happen, but nothing really changes. And that's probably more to do with the fundamental misunderstanding of what financial advice is by some of the regulators.
And what do you think the basis of that fundamental misunderstanding is?
They think it's tied to product. And I think that's been something that's been put forward by the industry funds and the big banks and financial institutions, whereas it's not. It's tied to making a difference in clients' lives. and, you know, improving outcomes for them.
And so have there been any specific losers? Have you, from your perspective, looking back at the Royal Commission, has some groups specifically lost from the whole experience of that Royal Commission?
Look, I think a lot of the institutions and bigger companies that were all dipping a toe into the superannuation pie by taking, you know, 10% here and an override there and 2% here and 1% there as management fees or white label fees and those sorts of things. I mean, they're the losers from the Royal Commission, which is good because it helps strip out a lot of those fees that are unnecessary for clients.
And any winners? Has anyone particularly, any one group got an advantage now as a consequence of the Royal Commission?
Look, I think the industry funds probably have an advantage, certainly because now that the banks are out of the advice space and the banks no longer really have any sort of industry-type products that they're pushing, and they don't have bank financial advisors pushing those products, then certainly the industry funds have fallen into that space where the banks used to be. So I'd say the industry funds would be one of the only winners from the Royal Commission.
That comes back to your previous point, though, that it's still a fundamental misunderstanding that you're getting advice from an industry fund as compared to just hearing about the features of the products they've got.
Exactly. And look, industry funds sell themselves on low fees. That's debatable whether or not their fees are low when you look at them a little bit more closely. Besides that, it's really just a product that they're selling and there's no strategy or advice with that product.
Have you been surprised, Paul, about the speed with which all this has happened, like the banks have moved out and the industry funds have come to dominance? Have you been surprised by the speed since the end of the Royal Commission, which is nearly 3 years ago?
To be honest, yes. I didn't think that the banks would exit so quickly. They really just basically turned off the tap and said, okay, this is all too hard. Let's just get out and basically shut everything down, sold everything off and focused on other things.
And obviously along the way, we've had this phenomenal experience of COVID-19. What do you see the long-term effects of the COVID-19 impact on the pace of reform for financial services that the Royal Commission was trying to achieve?
Well, I think it might slow things down. Certainly, it seems that everything now with regards to business and processes and getting things done has been made more difficult by COVID. So I certainly think it'll slow things down in the short term. Long term, I don't see it as having too much of an impact.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's been noted that processes themselves are naturally getting slowed down as regulators are more concerned about some of the ramifications, I suppose, of the Royal Commission and the movement towards greater and greater compliance that started even before the Royal Commission. And so with COVID on top of that, that it sounds from what you're saying that the benefits to Australians are actually probably even harder to find.
Yeah, definitely. The level of compliance has increased exponentially. And, you know, the amount of paperwork and forms that the poor old average client is expected to sign every year just seems to double every year. And it doesn't, a lot of it doesn't serve a purpose or isn't in the best interest for the client. It's certainly in the best interest for the license holder or the financial advisor in that it's protecting their backside, so to speak. But, you know, we should be here to do things in the best interests of the client and not necessarily in the best interests of the PI insurers.
Which comes back to your first point again, that it seems to be an industry based upon product distribution as compared to advice delivery.
Exactly.
So what's got to happen? You know, anyone listening to this, you know, what should they be waiting for or seeing or wait or demanding when they talk to their advisor, whether it's an industry fund advisor, a bank advisor, or a certainty advisor like you? What should they be looking for as a real step forward for more and more Australians getting access to valuable advice?
I think fundamentally they should be asking, how can you help me achieve the outcomes and goals that are important to me? These are the problems that I have in my life. I have problem saving or we have problems talking about, you know, how to spend that money and where it should go and how it should be allocated to debt, superannuation, investment. So how can you help me manage those behaviours and implement those strategies so that the outcomes that I'm looking for are best achieved?
There you have it, Paul Birch from Pacific Wealth here in Sydney's Northern Beaches. What was your takeaway from that? You know, I had a few, and that the clear one for me listening to Paul was he believes there's very little traction, very little real benefits for Australians seeking advice in this new confusing marketplace about when we're trying to understand what are our best financial steps forward with all so many changes going on. So since that $70 million project, which I believe was $70 million Hayne Royal Commission, lots of headlines, what have been the real benefits? Very little. And even what Paul sees is the ongoing benefits, still potentially very little. The other thing I picked up, industry funds grow. So whether in an industry fund or a government fund, it's inevitable they will grow, having been probably the last one standing now after the exit of the banks for those with big money in superannuation still. But it doesn't necessarily and automatically mean there's benefits in terms of quality advice. Might be good product recommendations, but it's a very, very different thing for making the what are all my options, what's my best option, and that decision being made without any conflict of any particular form of advice, which the industry funds are obviously inevitably conflicted. And I think Paul's clearest statement there that advice is about helping people understand options in an unconflicting manner, helping people reassure them of paths they're already on, or help people take on new required paths and the confidence needed to take new paths, change habits, etc. That's, I think, what Paul was articulating really nicely is advice as compared to a product is simply a recommendation for a specific drug like a doctor might give. But what is the real advice? That's where the value is. So there you have it, Paul Birch. Great boutique advisory firm here on the Northern Beaches, pacwealth.com.au, Pacific Wealth. I'd love to get your feedback. Please never mistake product or effort provided as being valuable to you in your financial life. Only you know what's of value to you, and that's what you should only pay for. Thanks for listening. Jim Stackpole signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to certaintyadvicegroup.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. certaintyadvicegroup.com.